Hey guys, welcome to the Christ Fellowship Podcast. This is Derek. We are celebrating Resurrection Sunday today. So excited to dig into the scriptures with you. Today we're going to look at the resurrection a little bit differently. We're going to look at how the resurrection really shows us how Jesus leads and through his leadership that he really is one who is worthy to follow. So grab your Bible, grab your notes. Let's dig in on this Easter.
Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Man, let's just take a moment. And I love what Katie just led us in. He stepped into our tombs, our dark places, our places that we've given up hope, our places that we felt like we were dead. And he says, from that place, follow me to life. Can we just take a moment? Let's enter into just a gratitude just to the Lord that he has stepped into areas of our life where we felt like we're dead. Areas of our lives where we had believed lies and just given up hope, and he stepped in and the light broke in, hope was restored, and he said, follow me out of the tomb. That's what he longs to do today as well, to lead us out of places where we've given up hope, out of places where we feel like we're just resigned to it is what it is. And I just feel like the Lord is saying, follow me out of the tomb today. Follow me out of the darkness. Follow me out of the lies. Follow me into life. And so, Lord, I ask today, Lord, that you would restore hope where we've given up hope. That we would, as Jason was talking about, you're the source of life, that we would be able to tap into the source of life at a deeper level today. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would lead us into truth today and you would set us free, that we would walk out of here more alive than when we walked in here. God, that's who you are. You're the God who's our living hope, our alive hope, our present hope. And so we recognize you as that. And we just say, lead us. In the powerful name of Jesus, everybody said, amen. Go ahead and find a seat if you can. And I don't know, they didn't ask me to do this, but if you have a seat beside you, we got some people standing in the back, standing room here. If you have some space beside you, could you just raise your hand? Raise your hand way up there. Just hit logistics here. We got a single here, single. It's like when you go to Disney. Do you want to be with a group or do you want a single? If you go single, you'll get a seat. If you want a group, you're going to have to wait. Just joking. But seriously, hey, it is good to be with you guys as they take care of some people finding seats. My name is Derek. If you're a guest here, I want to personally welcome you. I've got the privilege of being part of this community, and for the last 7 years, I've been asked to lead this community, and it's a real joy, and it's a gift just to be part of what God is doing in this little community that we call Christ Fellowship. We try to be a really simple people. You know, we don't gather on a Sunday around a band or around a message. We gather around the presence of Jesus. Can somebody say amen to that? And we as a people are learning what that looks like. We're learning to trust his leadership. How many of you know that Jesus wants to lead us? Anybody else know that today? Raise your hand if you know that, right? And so we as a people, as a community, we're learning what does it mean to follow Jesus? And so as I was praying about this this Easter and what I felt like the Lord was sharing, I felt like he was leading me into talking about leadership, which was very interesting. I'm like, Lord, it's Easter. Like, what are we doing here? And he's like, no, trust me. And so I've been thinking a lot about leadership this week and praying into today. And I was thinking about some poor or bad leaders. Have anybody ever had a bad leader in your life, like a bad boss, like a struggling boss? I was thinking about some of the poor leaders that I've been around. And sometimes, if we're honest, the poor leaders teach us more about leadership than the good leaders sometimes, if we can just be honest. Sometimes they're a gift to be around. You're like, I don't want to be like that person. I remember there was a person in my life who was kind of a leader for me, and I would meet with him every so often. And I was really early on, I wanted to like learn and I wanted to like engage. And every time I sat down with this person, all they wanted to tell me was how great they were. And then they would tell me what they would do if they were me. And never once did they ask me, hey, what are your thoughts? What do you need? what is your perspective? Have you ever been around somebody like that? It's not a good place to be in. Or I thought about when I was still in engineering. That was my background before I was ever a pastor. And I was an area manager at a plant. And one of the young engineers right out of college, this girl came to me, and she said, your boss is hitting on me and making me really uncomfortable. And my boss was married and way older than her. How many of you know that's not a great leader? And I'll never forget the day that I had to go into his office and I had to confront him about it. And I said, hey man, what you're doing is not good. It's not right. You need to stop. How many of you think my reverence and my respect for him went lower? Anybody else believe, right? Because poor leaders, that's what they do. Man, it's hard to follow somebody who's not a good leader. So I just want you for a moment, think about maybe a time where you've experienced maybe a not so good leader. Like, what did that make you feel like? What was the impact on you? And then maybe answer this question. A poor leader is fill in the blank. Now, don't say a political party. Don't do that to me. Don't do that. We're not there, right? But this out loud, just that's the adjective. Think about what is a poor leader. Just out loud, just to lighten up the room a little bit. A poor leader is, I want you to yell it out loud. Selfish. Come on, some more. Ignorant. Not. Yep, there you go. Arrogant. Yep, one more. What is it? Proud, pride, yeah. So I think we've all been around those kind of leaders, and none of us like those kind of leaders, and we don't want to follow those kind of leaders. But at the same time, I think most of us hopefully have experienced good leaders as well. And I was thinking about that this week. And immediately, one of the greatest leaders I've ever been around was my college football coach, Coach Jim Tressel. Amazing man, not only on the football field, but an amazing man overall. And I learned so much just from being on the team, watching how he led, watching his attention to detail, watching how he spoke to people. And what always blew me away is that he would speak to the all-star, amazing five-star athlete the same as he talked to the walk-ons. And at that time, I hadn't got a scholarship, so I was a walk-on, and so it blew my mind that he would take time out of his day with all these other guys to talk to, and he would sit down and he would have a conversation with me. And what also blew my mind is he knew my past. He knew about my high school career. He knew my family. I was married at the time. We got married in college. And so he knew my wife. He would ask about my wife. He would invite her to partake in some of the coaches' wives, the things they would do. And so I was always blown away by his leadership. And one of the things that I loved about him, he was so quick to listen. He was so quick to listen. And so you'd lean in when he talked because you're like, man, there's going to be something. I remember this one saying. Every year, he would drive this home for us as we're, 18 to 21-year-old guys. We're there to play football. 22-year-old guys, we're there to play football. Maybe some school, depends on how good you were at football. And he would always say some incredible truth. And one time, he I think about this all the time. He said, approach everybody as if they're hurting because they probably are. Isn't that good advice? Imagine being a 22-year-old young guy. Thinking you're amazing, all these guys, everybody's worshiping them. And he so shows up at a team meeting. He says, listen, approach every single person you meet, whether it's in a hallway, whether it's at a hospital, whether it's in your classes, as if they're hurting, because chances are they probably are. Man, to this day, I would do anything for Coach Tressel. If he called me up and said, I need you to go to California, I would run there if I could, right? Like, that's the kind of leader. And when you're around a good leader, you're like, yes, I want to follow that person. Or I was thinking, too, as I was on this football kick, because our team didn't make the NCAA tournament. So I was thinking about football a lot this week. And then I was thinking about my position coach, Coach Hazel. And I was reminded of my first game that I ever traveled with the travel squad. It was going to Happy Valley, Penn State, wideout, night game, both highly ranked teams. And we're in the locker room, and we're getting ready to warm up, and we're getting ready to go out and do our wide receiver routes. And so we go from the locker room, and to get to the field, you had to walk underneath the stadium, and there were people, like a sea of people everywhere. So you kind of had to like make your way through. And so the receivers, it was our time to go out and warm up with the quarterbacks, and we're walking out, and it's, there's probably about, 8 or 10 of us. And Santonio Holmes, which was a very good receiver on our team, he was like three people ahead of me. And as we're walking out through all these people, some young student jumps on his back and starts hitting him in the head. Now, the guy wasn't very smart. He had a helmet on, so it really wasn't hurting San Antonio. But it was like, what's going on? And I will never forget my coach, Coach Hazel. He grabs the guy off of San Antonio, and then he slams the guy up against this brick wall. And I can't tell you what he said, but let me tell you. He got the message across. And he dropped the guy, and the guy was like, ah. And let me tell you, we were like, let's go. I will follow you anywhere, coach. Incredible. Now, we ended up losing the game, but we were ready to follow. We were ready to follow, right? And so here's the thing about good leaders. You're like, yes, I want to follow that person. Have you ever experienced that kind of person? You're like something around them. Like when I'm around them, I'm like drawn. Like I want to know what they know. I want to hear what they're saying. That's what a good leader does. And so for a moment, just think about maybe one or two leaders in your life that have really impacted you. I know we got some teachers in here. Maybe you've been impacted by a teacher. Maybe like me, coaches have impacted your life. Maybe a pastor, maybe a parent, maybe a grandparent. But how did that good leader make you feel? How did they make you as a person? How was their impact on you? In the same way, let's answer this question. A good leader is, fill in the blank, just shout it out. Real loud, I can't hear you up here. They got the AC going. A servant, yeah? What is it, humble, yeah? Come on, this is an interactive church today. I don't know if you've been here before. We like to interact a lot here, so what else? Listener, good listener. Understanding. Selfless. Wow, there's some good ones, right? Uplifting. Yes, beautiful, right? And so good leaders. So today what I want to do is I want to look at the resurrection, but I want to look at it a little bit different. I want to look at the resurrection and how it paints the picture for the leadership of Jesus. And these are the words that I felt like I heard the Lord all the last 2 weeks as I was thinking about today, as I felt like he was saying, follow me, follow me, follow me. And today I want to talk about why, when he says follow me, we can follow him, all right? So I want to start with the evening of the day that Jesus rose from the dead. So Jason read out of Matthew about the resurrection and the angel there proclaiming and the people that were there trying to find Jesus, and then him sending them to Galilee and said, I'll meet you there. And so as the day progressed, the morning progressed, he then met with a couple guys that were on a walk, and they were walking, and he met with them. He began to talk to them, and as he was talking to them at the end of the walk where they got where they're going, he revealed that he really was Jesus. They didn't realize it at the time. And then Jesus kind of disappeared, and they're like, what just happened? So crazy, so wild. And then the guys head back to Jerusalem because they're like, wow, that was Jesus. He really is alive. What he said is true. And so we're going to pick up the story in Luke chapter 24, starting in verse 36. So as they were talking about these things, this conversation they had just had with Jesus, Jesus himself stood among them, and he said to them, peace to you. But they were startled and frightened and thought they saw a spirit. And he said to them, why are you troubled, and why do doubts arise in your hearts? See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have. And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they were still disbelieved for joy and were marveling, he said, have you anything to eat? I love that Jesus is like, guys, like, touch my skin. And if you don't believe me, do you think a spirit can eat something? Give me something to eat. I love that. Like, practically, like, Jesus is trying to, like, convey to them, listen, I'm not a spirit. Like, it's really me. And what's he do? He has some food. So they gave him a piece of broiled fish. And he took it and ate it. What would they do if, like, that fish just, like, fell on the floor? Wouldn't that be weird? Like, have you ever thought of that? Like, they were, like, watching, like, is this, like, going to stomach? Or is it just going to, like, I'm weird that sometimes I read things like that. But anyhow, it didn't do that. It actually went down into his stomach because it was really Jesus. Somebody say amen to that. It wasn't a spirit. It wasn't, a ghost. It was flesh and blood. The one who was with them before is now returned. And he said to them, these are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law and of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead,
and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning with Jerusalem. You are my witnesses of these things, and behold, I am sending the promise of my Father, which is the Holy Spirit, upon you, but stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. This is how the first Easter that we know it, how the evening went. And I love how Jesus showed up and he immediately is leading them, right? He's immediately saying, this is what's gonna happen and this is what's gonna happen. He was preparing them, as all good leaders do, for what was gonna happen. He knew that in 40 days, he was gonna ascend and go back to his throne with the Father and that they would be charged with carrying the message of the kingdom of God. And so he's leading them. This is what Jesus does. He leads us. And today, the invitation I feel like we all have is Jesus saying, follow me. But why? That's the question, I think, the resurrection. Why should we follow Jesus? Number one, if you're taking notes, I'd love for you to write this down. Number one thing about Jesus' leadership, he is trustworthy. You and I can trust Jesus. And I think the resurrection validates the teaching and the promises of Jesus. Because here's what Jesus said before the crucifixion, before the resurrection ever happened, Matthew 17. He says, as they were gathered in Galilee, Jesus said to them, the Son of Man is about to be delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill him. And he will be raised on the third day, and they were greatly distressed. This is so amazing. Days before Jesus ever was put on a cross, ever before he was raised from the dead, he said, guys, come on, let's have a little huddle. Come on, let's go. Here's what's gonna happen. I'm gonna get killed. And 3 days later, I'm gonna rise up from the dead. And you can imagine, they're like, we saw this going a different way, Jesus. That's not what we had in mind. And they were distressed. But then when Jesus is put on the cross and when 3 days later he's raised up from the dead, you better bet you they're remembering, oh my goodness, what he said happened. You know what that means? I can trust him. If he said it, I can trust him. Jesus said, let your yes be yes and your no be no. And I just want you to know the leadership of Jesus, you can trust him. And the resurrection shows us that what he says will come to pass, even if it looks different than what we thought. We can trust him. And I don't know about you, but in this day and age, there is so much distrust. Oh my goodness. And honestly, there's good reasons. There's distrust in our politicians. Wow. Don't even want to go there. Like, can we trust the left or the right, the Republicans, the Democrats? There's in the middle somewhere? I don't know. Like, there's so much distrust. There's distrust in business. We got people manipulating and people losing billions of dollars over people trying to do different schemes. We've got, even if we're just being honest, and some of us have experienced that, we've got church leaders and religious leaders that have abused the system, have abused people, and made it all about them. And for that, I just want to say as a pastor, I'm sorry, and I hate that. And so there's lots of mistrust. There's lots of distrust in our world. And honestly, it's easy just to say, I'm going to be a skeptic, and I'm just going to not trust anybody. But in an era, in a day where there's so much distrust, I don't know about you, but I need to have a leader that I can trust every day. And what the resurrection shows us is that we can actually trust the words of Jesus, the teachings of Jesus, the promises of Jesus. And so we see the leadership of Jesus. Number one is that he's trustworthy. We can trust what he says. The second thing that I see in the leadership of Jesus, and I love this about him, is that he goes first. And I think we would all agree, like as people that are on teams and have different leaders, some of the best leaders we know are people that are willing to go first to make a way, to show others that it's okay to follow, right? I think actually some of the best leaders are willing to do difficult things first so that others can have faith to do them too. Anybody else agree? Anybody ever been around somebody who's like, hey, I'll go first so that you can follow? Anybody else besides me been there, right? And so great leaders, they go first. And what I love about Jesus is he's always willing to go first. And what I know about his leadership is that he won't invite us to go anywhere that he isn't already. Think about that a second. He won't invite us to go anywhere, to do anything where he's already not working, right?
One of my favorite passages that sums up, I think, the person of Jesus is in Hebrews chapter 2. It's going to be on the screen here. It really brings the humanity of Jesus to light. The writer of Hebrews says, "Therefore, he had to be made like his brothers in every respect, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God, to make payment or propitiation for the sins of the people. For because he himself has suffered when tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted." Tell the person on your right, Jesus is like us. You're like, is he like us? Oh, is he like us? Actually, the scripture said he's like us in what? How many ways is Jesus like us? Did you hear that? How many ways? Every way. It says he's made like you and I. That means that Jesus lived a life like us. This is crazy, and we don't think about this. Jesus was in his mother's womb for 9 months. Jesus was born, and guess what? He needed his mama to feed him. And to change his, I don't know if they had cloth diapers. I don't know what they had back then. I don't know, but needed to change something down there. But the scriptures say that Jesus grew in not only stature, got taller, but also in wisdom. Isn't that incredible to think about? Jesus grew, his mind grew. Isn't that so interesting? He was made like us in every way. That means Jesus got hungry. Jesus had really amazing days where it was incredible and the sun was shining glorious. But also what I think I love about Jesus' leadership, Jesus had really hard days. Jesus had days where he was like, I don't know who to trust. Everybody's turning against me. People are saying things about me. Jesus is like us in every way. What I love about his leadership is that he goes first. He's saying, listen, I'll go into the places that you're scared of. I'll go first. I'll go into the things that you're worried about. I'll go first. And when we see his teaching, of course, Jesus is the greatest teacher. Even people that don't follow Jesus would say, man, his teaching was radically transformative. It's people that don't even like Jesus. They're like, his teaching's amazing, right? And so he was an incredible teacher, but his teaching wasn't just an empty philosophy of good ideas. Everything Jesus teaches, do you know that he also embodied? That's why I love him. When he said things that were really hard, he didn't say, he's like, man, love your neighbor, love your friend. He's like, of course you're going to do that. Somebody's nice to you, of course you're going to love him. But what did Jesus say? Love your who? Enemies. Oh, that doesn't sound fun, right? He says, love your enemies. But he didn't say, hey, guys, good luck, love your enemies. No, he says, no, love your enemies. Why? Because I am the one who loves my enemies. And this is what it looks like when they're literally putting the nails into his body and they're raising him up. And as he's trying to get his breath because of the pressure on his lungs on the cross, this is what he says. Of all the things he could say, he says, Father, forgive them for they know not what they're doing. So when Jesus says, pray and bless your enemies, it's not a good idea. He says, do that because this is what I do. When he tells us to follow the Father, that we can entrust ourselves to the Father, that's not an empty, like, it would be a good idea, but I've never tried it. No, no. Even on the night before he was killed, he's in the garden and he's troubled and like his sweat and blood is all mingled together. And he says, Father, if there's any other way for this to happen, man, let that be the case because I'd rather not have to go through this. But he says, nevertheless, I love that. Nevertheless, not what my will, but whose, but your will be done. He goes first. I don't know about you, but there's moments where I'm like, God, I don't think your plan works. Maybe you're judging me, but honestly, that's like what we read in the entire Bible. God's like, hey, let's do this. And you're like, I don't think that's gonna work, God. And that's our life. And what's amazing about Jesus' leadership is that he says, listen, I'll go first. I'll go into the darkness. I'll go into the pain. And I'll lead you through that. Good leaders go first, but they eat last, as Simon Sinek said. Amen to that, right? They go first. And so Jesus, no matter what he's inviting you into, here's what you can trust today, that the resurrection shows us that he's willing to go first. He's willing to enter in. And that leads us to the third thing, which is that Jesus, his leadership, he removes barriers. I think actually one of the most important things a leader can do is to free up their team to be and exceed expectations. Poor leaders try to do the thing for their team, but good leaders work with their team to try to remove barriers to allow their team to put it. I put it this way. Great leaders identify and remove fear so their team can run free and exceed expectations. And you've probably been around somebody like that. Like, they're not going to micromanage you, but they're coming to you and say, hey, for you to do your job, how can I help remove any barriers? Have you ever been around somebody like that? Like, that's the best kind of leaders that I like to work for. That's the kind I want to be, to help people get away from the things that are hindering them so they can actually run free. And so Jesus does that. And what I think we all know is that the biggest thing that's hindering most of us is fear. So once again, be honest for a moment, but you know, God's desire is that you would fully become and flourish and really be everything he's designed you to be. That's the vision of our church, is to equip and empower individuals to be everything God designed them to be. And so God has created you, he's wired you together, he's put you together, and he wants you to be totally free, and he wants you to be an expression of himself on the earth. But what holds most of us back, if not all of us back, I think is fear. Fear I'm not enough, fear I'm gonna fail, fear somebody's gonna say something about me, or I think these two fears are probably common throughout most humans, is number one, the fear of death. Number two is the fear of all being all alone. Separation, what we also know as sin, right? And this is one of the reasons I love Jesus, is that his desire is for us to be free, to be unhindered. And so he says, I know what fear is holding you back, so here's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna go first, like we talked about a second ago. I'm gonna go first, and I'm gonna remove those barriers away. This is what Paul writes in 1 Corinthians to the church of Corinth. He says, death is swallowed up in victory. Somebody say amen to that. Isn't that good news? Death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so the very thing that we get scared about, he's like, man, I'm scared to die, and so I'm not gonna take this risk, or I'm scared to die, so I can't do that. Or what? He's like, listen to what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna go first. I'm gonna actually go into death, and I'm gonna show you it doesn't have any power over you. What do you mean? Well, yeah, Jesus literally, once again, we don't think about this. We like to just think about the high level. Jesus took a very last breath. Jesus' heart stopped pumping. His blood stopped flowing. He was dead. And he says, I'm gonna go first, and I'm gonna show you that you don't have to fear death, because I'm gonna go in there first. And I'm gonna remove your fear, because what I want you to see is that the greatest fears you have, on the other side of that greatest fear, usually is your greatest life. And so he goes into our greatest fear, death, and he comes out on the other side. He's like, guys, listen, I'm alive, and I'm not a spirit. Give me a piece of fish. Look at my hands. Look at my feet. It's really me. And so Jesus, he enters into our greatest fear and he conquers it. He gives us victory. And I don't say that lightheartedly. Death is still a big deal for us humans. I get it. I've got friends and family members that are on the threshold right now, and there's various levels of fear in that, and I totally get that. But what I want us to see is that the resurrection is a removal of the fear, that when we die, Jesus says, when you die, you actually don't die. Isn't that confounding? It's actually, when I take my last breath, it's actually a transition in a moment to actually a higher level of life. Imagine the freedom you would have if you actually believed that in Jesus. This is what he did. He died, raised up, and says, guys, the biggest thing you're afraid of, don't be afraid. The second thing he did is he swallowed up the fear of sin or separation. Man, it's so powerful. This is the beauty of the cross. It's the beauty of the resurrection. It says that Jesus, it says that on the cross, he became sin. Isn't that confounding? Like, we just read that and we're like, yeah, that's kind of normal. No, that's not normal. Like, that's mind-boggling to think about this man, Jesus, who's fully God. He's on a cross, and it says that he became our sin. All of our sins, all the ways that we separate from the ways of God and the truth of God and what he said, all those ways, he takes it on. And in that moment, what he shows us is that sin is not conquered by sin. Sin is conquered by what? Love. but a connection. See, sin at its core really means separation. That's what it means, separation. Do you know how God overcame sin? Not by separating, no. By embracing the one who became sin. And by doing so, had victory over sin and taken away the fear of separation. So when Jesus comes out the other side, he's like, guys, listen, I became sin, so now you have no excuse. Somebody say to yourself, I got no excuse, all right? This is the beautiful thing about Jesus' leadership. You have no excuse. You're like, well, Derek, if he knew what I did 10 years ago, he knew it when he died for you. You're like, Derek, if you knew how bad of a leader I've been, the guy you were explaining earlier, that's me. Jesus knows that. Guess what? The power of his death and resurrection, he says, no more excuses. Listen, we can't tell God enough bad things to make him change his mind towards us. Isn't that good news? Like, isn't that just such good news? Like, all the things, he's like, no, I took care of that on the cross, Derek. And I'm like, well, what about this guy? He's like, no, I took care of that. I'm a good leader. You can trust me. I wiped all that away. I trust me. And then what he said, he's like, listen, if who can be against you if God is for you? Man. And then that Romans, it continues on. And he says, listen, what can separate us from God's love in Christ Jesus? And he goes on and says, nothing visible or invisible. Nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. This is the beauty of the resurrection. There's no fear of death, and we don't have to worry about the fear of sin. Somebody say amen to that. He is a good leader. He is a good leader. And finally, the last one is that he's a good leader. His leadership shows us in the resurrection that he is other-focused. I love that somebody said that a good leader is humble, a good leader serves others, and that's really the thing that I wrote down actually on my notes this morning, that Jesus, the tense is probably wrong, but I felt like he was saying see and serve. See people, serve them, and that's what he did. He said, I didn't come to the earth to be served, but to what? To serve. And so Jesus, his leadership, when he says, follow me, I can trust him and I can say, yes, I want to follow you, because he is other focused. His entire life is other focused. He came to the earth to reveal who the Father is like, to give us a model of what it looks like to be connected to the Father. He died not for himself, because he was sinless, for who? You and me. He rose from the grave, not just for himself, although that was great that he's not in the grave anymore. He's alive. Thank you, God, for that. Yes, indeed. Amen to that, right? But he also raised from the dead for who? For you and I, like we just sang about. That his life was meant to be given away. It wasn't just for himself. And so when we read a passage like John 3:16 that most of us know, for God so loved the world, we could just stop right there. Can we just stop there for a second? For God so loved the world. The people that look like you, the people that don't look like you. The people that vote like you, the people that don't vote like you. The people that show up to church, the people that don't show up to church. He loved the world so much that he gave us his only son, that whoever would believe him would not perish, but what? Have eternal life. And then we get to verse 17, and we like to just stop there because that usually fits on a coffee mug right there. Verse 17 is profound, and I'm telling you, we miss that, especially in the Bible belt that we live in. We miss verse 17. Verse 17 says, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world may be saved through him. Some of us just need to have a fresh vision of God. He's not pointing a finger, trying to look for a way to pin you down. He's so in love with you and so desires for you to walk in life that he sent his son to die so that he wouldn't just give us a picture, but he would actually save us. And so what we see, the resurrection, his leadership, it enables God's desire for the world that we would live. We would live. And this is good news. And so when Jesus says this simple phrase, follow me, follow me. I felt like he's just saying, follow me, follow me. He's not saying, follow me because you don't want to go to hell. And I know that's like hard for us to think about where we live, and it's, you know, such a religious culture. He's not saying, you know, follow me so you get your get out of hell free card. Don't testify. No. Jesus says, follow me because I want you to have life. Somebody say that's good news right there. It's not like follow me or F. He says, no, no, no. I want you to live. So follow me because what? I'm the one who you can trust. Man, the world's going to let you down. Leaders are going to let you down. They're always going to let you down. But listen, I will never let you down. You can trust me. You can follow me. Follow me. He says, follow me, because I will go first. I love this about God. He says, I will go first. Whatever you're dealing with, know that I'm already in the midst of that. He says, follow me, because I want to remove all the excuses, all the barriers, all the things that are hindering you. I want to remove them all. And actually, I already did on the cross. And so now I just want you to actually believe me for what I did. And he says, follow me. Because I've come to serve you, not be served by you. And honestly, that's offensive, because you're like, I want to serve God. And he's like, listen, Jesus is like, I came to serve you. And some of us, we just need to let the Lord serve us today. And I know how we're brought up in church. That seems weird, but that's literally what Jesus said he wants to do. And so the words, follow me, I feel like the Lord is just really impressing on us today. And so here's the good news about this, follow me. It's for every single person. It's for everybody. So maybe some of you in the room, I see some faces that I know well, and you've been walking with the Lord 30, 40, 50 years. And you're like, man, I love the Lord, and I receive his love. But today, I just want you to hear the Lord say, follow me. Don't continue to do what you've done. Follow me fresh and new. I feel like the Lord's given a fresh invitation to those that have been walking for a while with the Lord to say, follow me. Don't settle down. Follow me, okay? So maybe that's you in the room. Some of us in the room, you're like me in my mid-20s, where I was raised in church, and I ran from the Lord. I mean, I just didn't want anything to do with him. And so I just ran after money and power and all those things. And what I found out at the end of that road, there ain't nothing there except more brokenness. And so I found myself in my mid-20s, like, what am I doing? And I had this encounter with the Lord. And literally, like, what I heard him say is, Derek, can we stop messing around over here? Can you start following me? And so maybe today is just an invitation. He's not condemning you. He's not saying this. He's just saying, hey, can you, let's walk together. Let's go in the same direction again. Follow me. And then there's probably some people in the room or those that are watching online that you're like, man, I don't really have that kind of background. Like, maybe this is my first day in church, or like, I wasn't raised anything, or maybe I just was raised, like, I just don't want to go to hell, and so I'm just going to try to do the thing, right? And so I just feel like the Lord's saying, follow me, because I want to give you life. Eternal life, yes, but remember what eternal life is. It's knowing God. It's what Jesus said in his prayer in John 17. And so today, it felt like that. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to close, and we're going to have our ministry team up here in just a moment, but I just want to give us a moment before we head out the day. I know we've got a beautiful sunshine going on, incredible things planned for the day, but I just think it's important that we pause for a moment. And we just settle ourselves in, and we just pray a prayer that's really simple. God, how are you inviting me to follow you? And so just right now, you can close your eyes if you want to. You don't have to. We don't believe in hype around here, and so it's just, we just want to calm ourselves down, get our focus, the Lord, and we just want to say, Lord, what are you inviting me into today? What would it look like for me to follow you, King Jesus? What would that look like? And once again, for some of us, it may mean, man, I want to walk with the Lord again. Maybe for the first time, I want to start walking with God. And some of us, it's like the Lord's like, hey, I want to restore this relationship, so follow me. I want to bring hope to this individual, so follow me. Let's have a conversation. There's all kinds of things across the board the Lord is inviting us into. We just want to be a people as we sit in the reality of the resurrection, the one who says, I'm alive and I want you to be alive. What does it look like for us to follow him and his leadership? And so, Lord, we just want to say we want to follow you as best we can, and as unknown and mysterious as that is. We just say, we want your leadership of this church. Lord, we want to hear your words. We want to see what you're doing, and we want to have a heart that says yes. And so, Lord, I just bless this gathering, that we would be a people that follow you, and not just a one-time salvation, but a daily relationship where we say, I want to be part of what you're doing, God. So we bless you, Jesus. We bless you for this morning. We thank you that we get to sing about that you're alive and that you're still working among us. And we just say we want to be part of it. We just want to be part of it. We want to see your kingdom come and your will be done in the Tri-Cities as it is in heaven. Amen. Amen. We're going to close today with our ministry team up here. And let me just say, just before you head out here, these guys and gals, they are just normal guys and gals, but they love to pray. And we've seen some amazing things that God has done, whether it's physical healing, whether it's restored relationships, lies that are replaced with truth, all kinds of freedom we've seen. And so if you're here and you've been here, like, you know what we do. But if you're new and you're like, man, I got some things in my life, some brokenness, I would love somebody just to pray for. Before you head out and go to the sunshine, man, we would love to pray with you and bless you and ask the Lord to encounter you as we follow him. But we're honored that you guys have been here. Man, come down and receive some prayer, receive some ministry. If that's not for you, man, we bless you guys. Enjoy the sunshine. We'll see you next Sunday.